The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after Pentecost is found in the prophecy of Isaiah, the 65th chapter. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, "Here I am, here I am," to a nation that was not called by my name. I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and the broth of tainted meat is in their vessels, who say, "Keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you." These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay unto their lap both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord, because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills. I will measure into their lap payment for their former deeds. Thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, "Do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it." So I will do for my servant's sake. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth offspring from Jacob, and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servants shall dwell there. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is found in Paul's letter to the Galatians, the 3rd and 4th chapter. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then, the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The congregation, please rise.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. And they begged him to let them enter these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. How sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. It soothes our sorrows, heals our wounds, and drives away our fear. What a wonderful first stanza to sing right after we hear a stanza where Jesus is driving away all sorts of things. He's driving away demons, people, and even pigs. But he drives away our fear. It is a funny story almost when we hear of Jesus doing this amazing thing. It's funny because, again, God's word has these little humorous bits when you're reading them and you see it like, wait a second, did that really just happen? We have this man. He's literally wild and crazy. He's got superhuman strength, seemingly, and an inability to control his mind and his body. He's running around naked in the tombs. They will shackle him down because he's destroying things, property possibly. People are terrified of this man. And he's able to break the bonds, pull away, and run off wild and crazy. Jesus shows up, and he's able to deal with this problem that no one else knows how to deal with. And the response to Jesus helping this man is that these people are terrified. Well, I don't know what the problem was with that guy, but somehow Jesus is bigger and badder than that. This is scary to us. As we just heard in our young time lesson, he's like a superhero and doing superhero things, and yet people are terrified. This reading actually comes right after Luke chapter 8 when they're on the boat to get there and there's a giant storm happening and Jesus is taking a nap. And his disciples, "Aren't you worried? We're going to be destroyed." And Jesus wakes up and he rebukes the wind and the waves and it calms down. And sure enough, he says to them, his disciples who are in the boat, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid. And they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" So before he even shows up in the land of the Gerasenes, his disciples, the people who are following him and learning from him, see him do this amazing, miraculous thing, commanding the wind and the waves, and they're terrified. They were just terrified about the storm. And the storm's gone, and well, he's even bigger than the storm. Now Jesus shows up, and he has demons to deal with. Many demons possessing one man. And we see that the demons are terrified. Jesus comes to them and asks him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." The man is not speaking for himself. The demons are even saying this: "We are one unit in this man." And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Jesus shows up and he's not dealing with just one demon, but a large group. And they too are afraid of him. Now a large herd of pigs are going by. This man, by the way, this poor guy who is dealing with this demon possession, Here he is, just this puppet of all these demons, making him unclean. He's in the area with the tombs, which is an unclean place. And what happens to be there? Well, a herd of pigs, an unclean animal for God's people. This poor man is being brought into complete uncleanliness, demon possession, an awful situation. And here comes Jesus. And he's not afraid, he's just there. The demons who are making this happen to him are afraid. Now they beg him, please don't get rid of us, don't destroy us. And he gives them permission to leap into a herd of pigs, and the herd of pigs goes careening off the cliff. And everyone who sees this is terrified, not of the pigs, but of Jesus doing these things. So they run and they tell people in the city, and the people come out, and they see this man who previously they didn't know what to do with. He's no longer naked, he's fully clothed. He's no longer insane, he's sitting there in his right mind at the feet of Jesus, in full control and in full peace. And the people are terrified again. Man, there's a lot of terror going around. We should have saved this reading for, I don't know, October 31st. But all this terror is going through, and everyone's worried and concerned. What's going on? Who is this guy? Who is this Jesus that even the wind and the waves obey him? That even all the demons obey him? That even this crazy guy who we couldn't take care of is now miraculously healed? And what do? Please go away. We're scared. Leave us alone. There's only one individual in this whole situation who isn't terrified, who isn't worried, who isn't concerned. And he's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He is someone whose personal demons were fully removed from him. He's someone who had no control in his life. He's someone who found himself in a dark place, lonely, feeling and being unclean in the eyes of his people, not sure of how to help himself and certainly being unable to do so. He's the only one who truly sees what's happened. Jesus has fully saved him, fully taken that which would have led to his death away. He's the one who doesn't want to send Jesus away, but rather says, Jesus, can I go with you? And then Jesus is the one who sends him away. But not in anger or frustration, but in peace and happiness to say, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And I love the turn of phrase that Luke uses immediately for us. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. He knows Jesus is not just a superhero who can do amazing things. Jesus is not just someone who somehow has authority over wind and waves and even demons. Jesus is God, and he has the power to save from all things. And he wants to be there with him and learn more. Jesus says, go and tell how much God has done for you. Now, I'm very happy to say that in at least some ways, you are like this same man. I'm also very happy to say that none of you are running around wild and crazy around a cemetery nearby, and you are fully clothed. Thank you. Good job. No shoes, no shirt, no service, but I'm very thankful that we are here and we are those who indeed know that we can sit at the feet of Jesus, we can listen to him and not be afraid, but know that he does have power and authority over all things. Jesus has the power and authority to tell all of sin, death, and the devil to leave you alone. You have a great Savior, as we sang just a bit ago, a great high priest and king over all creation. There is nothing in this life that you need to fear. Your Savior Jesus is greater than all of it. And you know how much he's done for you and for the whole world, for that matter. There's a fact from Christian history that's really, really neat, and we've not really paid much attention to it in recent past. But baptisms, for a long time, were seen almost as little mini exorcisms. You take this sinful individual, born with original sin, condemned by the sin that is in all humanity, and you baptize them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as that water washes over them, it washes away something that we can't see. Just like when the people saw the man in the catacombs and the tombs, they just saw a man who was possessed by something far greater than himself. When someone comes to the baptismal waters, they come with something greater than themselves that they cannot remove. We believe that in baptism, through God's word and through the promise that he has given us, our sin is washed away. We are made clean. You were made holy. And you need not fear the power of sin, death, and the devil, or any of his minions. You need not fear possession. Don't go looking for trouble, though. But know that God is in you. There is no place for anything else. Rooted in Jesus Christ, his life-giving blood flows through you. Given the name of God, not just in name only, but in reality and truth, you are made an heir of God's family. You receive all of his good and perfect blessings. You have had all sin cast out of you. This leads us, of course, to that really difficult phrase. It's like one of the two Latin phrases I know. Simul justus et peccator. We're simultaneously just and sinful. And somehow we live that way in this whole life that we have. We know that we're still sinners. We know that sin is still in us. We know that we can't escape that. And yet we know for a fact from God's word. We experience when we feel his presence in our lives the fact that we are justified before our God. You are holy before God because of what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross and rose from the grave, defeating all that would pull you away from God, all that would lead you to wandering in unholiness and uncleanliness, unable to do anything. We know that mini exorcism has happened for each and every one of us who are baptized in the name of God. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. We're now in the beginning of this long green season. It will be green up here for a good long time. Of course, the green is for that growth that the Holy Spirit brings to God's church on earth. He continues to work. He continues to spread the good work of Jesus Christ to the whole world. It's not just one individual at a time, but the whole earth who can hear the word of God and be changed by it. You who have been changed, you who know what God has done in you, we get to do two things. Something that this man couldn't do. He wanted to follow and keep sitting at the feet of Jesus. But Jesus said, no, you have to stay here and tell your people what God has done for you. You get to do both things. Look at that. Jesus is with you wherever you go through the power of his Holy Spirit. You get to daily come to the foot of Jesus, read about him in his word, pray to God, experience His love daily and personally for you. Come and receive His very body and blood in bread and wine in His supper. You get to be at the foot of Jesus every day. And you get to tell your whole community about everything that God has done for you, everything that Jesus has done for you. You don't need to be afraid about anything in this life. Anything that happens personally in your own heart and your mind, you don't need to be afraid for those people that you love who continue to go through hardships. When those fears come, you know who you can turn to. Going to the feet of Jesus and praying, God, this is bigger than me. I can't deal with this. I can't take care of it. I can't provide miraculous healing. I can't seem to change my own thoughts on this particular subject. When you see and hear of bad things happening in our community or in the world, you don't need to be afraid. We can sit at the feet of Jesus and pray, God, you are in control of all things. Everything is subject to you. When evil happens, when destruction and pain happens, when there is strife that seems to have no end, we still know and trust that God is in control of all things. We can bring all of our fears and concerns to Him and leave them at the feet of Jesus. And then do what we can only do. Go and tell people what God has done for us. Tell them that God is still in control. God still provides life and peace where there is none. God is able to do that for others the same way He's done it for you. So in this true story, where Jesus is able to show that He is in control of all things and greater than all natural disaster, all sin that would come from the powers of the devil, when He is able to defeat anything that is happening in even your heart and mind, you do not need to be afraid. And you get to tell the whole world they don't need to be either. We find our peace, our comfort, and our hope in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Let us proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. And now may God bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look on you with favor and give you His peace. Amen. Now go in peace and serve the Lord.